You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
All right, good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friends and colleagues, Ben Heisler and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Looking forward to some more edumacation here.
Okay. Ben, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm
trying to figure out what he just said, right?
Yeah, I think I might need the education to keep up with his edumacation.
Okay, it's going to be one of those shows, especially with the pre-show banter we just had with this next guest. Promises to be a very intriguing conversation. Say hello to Art Wood. He's the Tucker Branch Manager with Cole Taylor Mortgage. Welcome to the show, Art.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you. Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Art, before we get into a conversation around Cole Taylor, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I got in the mortgage industry 10 years ago. Before that, I was working in a family business. And before that, I was a tennis pro. So in that, a great transition, tennis pro to a family, actually, which is truck and auto parts into mortgages. And
it's all very logical.
Absolutely. Well, you know, my father majored in history and became a great entrepreneur. I mean, that makes no sense. But this is where I am. So I'm big into family. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old kid. And I kind of say that, you know, family is who I am. Mortgages is what I do. So that is me in a nutshell.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So tell us about Cole Taylor Mortgage.
Cole Taylor Mortgage is Cole Taylor Bank is an 85-year-old bank that's out of Chicago. And they opened the mortgage division out of Michigan in 2010. And it has been the most profitable portion of their business. We are a nationally licensed or FDIC lender. Lets us lend in 45, 46 states right now. And to be honest, I've worked for several institutions, and it's by far and away the best place for product, for rate, for a lot of things, but most importantly, culture. Very employee, consumer-based culture.
Art, I used to think I kind of understood the mortgage business and the mortgage market. I no longer think that.
No.
I mean, give us an overview. Where are we now, and where are we headed?
I still believe that everybody says it's so tough to get a mortgage. I still believe the people that should qualify for a mortgage qualify for a mortgage. You know, there may be some things that maybe we didn't ask for 10 years ago that we're asking for now. But you still, if you qualify for a mortgage, you qualify for a mortgage. What was happening up to 2007 is if you fogged a mirror, then you got a mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, it got stupid.
Well, I mean, yeah. So, you know, you have a 580 credit score, which probably means you didn't pay your bills in the first place, and you don't have no job. You don't have to put any money down. So your interest rate was a point higher. Who cares? You got a house. That's why we ended up in the place that we are now. There's been a lot coming down the pike. In 2010, we had a new GFE, good faith estimate, that came out, and it was supposed to be to protect the consumer and be binding. It's supposed to be easier for a consumer to understand. Well, we went from a 1-page good faith estimate to a 3-page good faith estimate.
Yeah,
with no
simple
signature. And it has no signature. How's it, you know, how's it really binding? We regulated loan officer compensation that basically said that you have to decide what your compensation plan is at the beginning of the year or whatever. And that's what it's going to be on every loan that you do. And it's really per company, not even per year. So those are some things. But then as of January 10th, you had Dodd-Frank, the FHFA, the CFPB, all these, you know, initials that have come down and even put more stuff in place to try to protect it from ever happening, you know, all this stuff from happening again. And some of those things that you're seeing is what they call a QM or QRM, which is qualified mortgage or qualified residential mortgage, which basically takes it and says, you know what, we're going to cap these qualified mortgages at 43% debt to income. Now, if they're backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and I apologize if I'm confusing anybody or going right overhead, but if they're backed federally, then some of these things don't apply, like the 43% debt to income. Mm-hmm. There's some more appraisal rules. You actually have to receive your appraisal 3 days before closing, which is normally should happen that way anyway, right? But this is now a rule. Then the other thing is they cap the amount of fees that you're allowed to charge at basically 3%. So as long as you fit in those rules, you are a qualified mortgage, and you basically, it's kind of guaranteed, if you will, by the government. So a lot of changes have taken place, but everybody, at the end of the day, people still need to buy money, and qualified borrowers will still get money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Art Wood will return after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Art Wood, Tucker Branch Manager with Cole Taylor Mortgage.
So, Art, before the break, we talked a lot about what it takes now to get a mortgage and the good people that deserve one are still going to get one. Well, if I want to get one in spring so I can jump in on the spring buying season, what do I need to start doing now?
Well, and I'm going to make that a broader question, if you will, is to how do you qualify for a mortgage, period.
Sounds good to me.
And they're basically looking for four things. They're looking for debt to income. Can you have the ability to repay? Do you have the ability to repay, which is part of QM as well? But they're also looking at your down payment. You know, do you have the money to put down? They're looking at your credit score. We are, I believe, Cole Taylor is one of the industry leading banks as far as we'll go down to a 600 credit score. Most are 620 to 640. We'll go down to 600, which is cool. It's great. Now, also, you're looking at so the amount of reserves, your debt to income, your credit score, and then how much you're willing to put down on the property. So what people get stuck in a lot of times is they say, you know what, I just opened a business 6 months ago and I want to buy a house. Well, sorry, you're going to have that for 2 years. So I guess to kind of go back to the spring thing is, first of all, pay your bills. You know, that's good. Keep the credit score up. I mean, you would think that that doesn't have to be said, but pay your bills. You'd be surprised.
Say it.
Yeah, right. But the other thing is don't go changing jobs. If you're W-2 now, I don't care if it's the same line of work, don't go 1099. I feel they're common sense, but then again, I've been doing it for 10 years. So really pay your bills, don't go changing jobs, stack some money away. One of the things that they look at a lot of times is sourcing large deposits. So if you have a $1,000 deposit and there's not a payroll thing, you know, then they're going to want to see where that money came from. So the cleaner that you can make it without showing any real spikes in anything, whether it be income, an underwriter wants to look at that loan and just kind of see a flat line. This guy is consistent.
Well, we talked about the current mortgage market. Look out ahead. And this may be a tough question, and I'm asking you to speculate a little bit, but what kind of changes, both, I think it's a two-part question, what kind of changes do you see coming, and what kind of changes would you like to see coming?
Well, I'd love to see more business. Would be wonderful.
You're not alone there.
Right? But, you know, we're at a increasing interest rate environment right now. I mean, we're basically up a full point, if not a little bit more than that, from the lows. So, and they anticipate that continuing to go up with the economy improving. So you're going to see a lot less refinances, you know, because everybody refinanced in the threes or the low fours or even mid fours, and now rates are five. You're never going to see somebody, oh, I have a 3.5. I'd love to refinance the 5.5. Nobody's ever going to do that. But, you know, they're predicting basically 30% less mortgage transactions this year than last year.
Wow.
Because of the rates. I've also read articles that saying we're getting more inventory. That we've been dealing with very few houses to sell, and that's why you know 2 days after you list them, they're gone. Got a contract on them. So we're also seeing that's going to happen. So I'm transitioning my business. I've been big into refinances and whatnot, but I'm huge into networking. And that's been an easy transition to take that from refinances to purchases. And truly, purchases are wonderful. I mean, you get the opportunity to put people in a dream home. Mm-hmm. That's a reason.
Fun, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, I was at a closing yesterday, and the seller was crying. Of tears of joy, finally get out from under this house. The buyer was crying. It was her first house, and everybody's hugging all the way around.
Yeah, just a win.
I know, and I'm going, I got the greatest job in the history of Earth. So we'll see. I mean, it's definitely, I don't have that crystal ball to see what it's going to look like, but you know, certainly hoping it's a volatile industry and hoping to continue to be relevant.
All right. Well, you said a lot about networking. How are you and how is Cole Taylor involved in the community?
Well, they tell me that I should be the mayor of Tucker, but I live in the house that I grew up in. I'm on Main Street in Tucker. I went to Tucker High School. I lead worship. I've lasted for 10 years. I've led worship at Tucker Methodist Church. I know everybody, but you know, my wife and I put on the Taste of Tucker, which thousands of people come to every year. But more specifically, I started hosting two networking events. One is just open to any industry that wants to come. That's a Smoke Rise Country Club. It's on the fourth Thursday of the month. It's fantastic. It's $10 to get in. If you're interested in that, reach out to me. The other one is a real estate success series, which I just actually was at this morning. That's just for real estate agents to educate and network.
All right. Well, Art, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and where can they learn more about Cole Taylor Mortgage?
Go to facebook.com/ Artwood Mortgage. And you can find me there, and you can always email me at awood@ctmtg.com. That's awood@ctmtg.com, or my office telephone line is 678-951-1281.
All right, Art Wood, the pseudo-mayor of Tucker, then the Tucker branch manager with Cole Taylor Mortgage. Art, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you.
All right, the deal of the day is next, but stick around for our exciting next guest, Julia Forbes with the High Museum. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, time for today's deal of the day. Ben, what have you got for us?
So today is a great deal if you are looking to remodel your kitchen or bath or really anywhere else in your home here in January. Construction Resources has a great deal on two granite countertops, fully fabricated. The first one is gorgeous Italian white granite countertops called White Torrancino by Antolini that are a beautiful white shade with silver and black veins and crystals in it, and that's $45 a square foot fabricated.
That's a pretty good price.
That is a good price.
And then just because they wanted to throw a little something extra in there. Oh, there is more. The crystal gold granite countertop, which is one of their more popular shades. It's this gorgeous golden-hued stone with spots of brown and gray swirls mixed in, is only $39 a square foot fabricated, but there's only three slabs of that left, so you should head in now.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're going to get a granite countertop, and why would you not if you got one of those old, you know, Corian or whatever, that old stuff, get all scratched up and whatnot. I mean, granite, gosh, you need, especially a guy like me needs that. You can bang stuff on it. You can't hurt it. And it looks fabulous.
Let me make a comment here. We've done 2+ years of deals of the day, and rarely have we done something that has to do with countertop. You know, granite countertop.
That's a good point.
A lot of it's been home deals and closing cost reductions and all that, so it's refreshing to have a little different take here. That's exciting. Something new for the audience.
Yeah, well, Construction Resources in itself is very refreshing. The place where you'll find these slabs on display so you can see what they are, as well as many other slabs that are available, is down at their Decatur Slab Gallery at 224 Rio Circle. And their slab gallery is actually a 20,000 square foot slab gallery with
call it a slab gallery just doesn't capture what that place
we've
is.
We've talked about this joint on this show.
Stunning.
We've talked about this place on the show several times. I mean, it is an amazing facility, worth the trip
just to see it.
Oh yeah, and in addition to that, there's a 10,000 square foot design space that just fully finished being upgraded late last year. So while you're there, you can talk to designers they have on staff, from everything from your granite countertops to sinks to faucets to flooring to new shower fixtures. They also do plantation shutters and all kinds of amazing stuff. I mean, you remember the Home Depot Expo store?
Yeah.
Well, it's like that. Little bit cleaner, a lot more options when it comes to slabs, and you can find everything there and lots of help.
Yeah, and let's not lose sight of the fact you can get a granite countertop. You said $39 a square foot.
$39 a square foot or $45 if you want
that's the really high-end stuff.
Italian granite.
Is there a time limit on this deal?
These are offered, the three slabs of golden crystal are until the three are sold, and the white Torrancino from Antolini is just this month, so you just have until the end of January. Right, it's their special deal for January.
And better get moving, folks.
Yep.
All right. Where can people get more information on this, Ben?
Well, for more information, you can head to CR Home USA, and that is C the letter C, R the letter R, homeusa.com. Or you can call 404-378-3132 to reach their main line. Or you can just head on over. They're open all the time at 224 Rio Circle in Decatur.
Outstanding.
Also have three other locations in Alpharetta, Buford, and down in Buckhead.
Outstanding. All right. Well, that wraps today's deal of the day. All right. And we're back with our next guest. I've been looking forward to this one since it got put on the schedule. Say hello to Julia Forbes. She's the head of museum interpretation and digital engagement with the High Museum of Art. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thanks.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Before we get into the High, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I've been at the High just 9 years. I just had my anniversary, and it's been an amazing 9 years at the museum. I came here from the Smithsonian Institution. I was working at the National Museum of American History for about 6 years before that. So I've been doing the kind of work I do a long time, which is thinking about how visitors engage with objects and art objects in an exhibition and making their labels or creating audio guides, training the people who give the tours. So I'm really all about people learning in the museum and making a personal connection with what they see.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So tell us more about the High Museum.
Well, you know, the High is a pretty interesting place. It's been around since about 1905, and it really started as the Atlanta Art Association. And people ask me all the time, High Museum, what is that? Why the High Museum? Do you guys think so well of yourselves that you call yourselves the High Museum of Art? And I said, no, we're named for a lovely woman who gave her home to the museum in 1926. Her name was Hattie High. And so one of the parts of that gift was that she would name the museum we would name the museum after her family, so the High Museum of Art. And it's really grown from them, which means compared to other art museums in the United States, we're kind of young, really, when you think about it. Our first building really was her home, and then we built a building in the 50s when we got a really great donation from the Kress Foundation of European art. And the building people think of as the High Museum of Art here in Atlanta didn't open until 1983. And then, of course, we had a wonderful expansion in 2005 with the Renzo Piano buildings, plural, that were added. So really, we're a young museum that's growing and I think is a risk taker and innovative and exciting.
Well, I got to tell you, I am moving, and I am literally moving less than 3 blocks away from the High Museum.
Welcome to Midtown.
On Friday, today, literally today, when I leave the studio. I've lived in the Atlanta area for a long time and been to the High Museum, you know, several times. But mm-hmm. as a local that can walk there whenever I want, talk about how somebody like me that's living in that area can take advantage of what the High has to offer.
Well, first of all, you got to buy your membership. I'm hoping you'll come in Saturday morning.
I'm sure you have the forms
with
you.
Get your membership. And that means now you can come anytime you want, the whole year. You've paid your membership. You're in and out free. You want to come for 10 minutes, no problem. You're stopping in for lunch. You're getting to know our amazing permanent collection. You can see any special exhibition, come to a lecture, a family day, a film. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. And then you're going to tell your neighbors and they'll join you.
So tell us about what you have on display now and what is coming up soon.
Sure. Well, right now, in fact, you've just got a couple of days left. On January 19th, we're going to close a terrific exhibit, so I hope folks will come to see the Art of the Louvre's Tuileries Gardens. What we've really tried to do is bring to life this amazing 63-acre garden that sits in the heart of Paris and that now the Louvre is responsible for. So think of this amazing garden as one of their masterpieces, their another Mona Lisa or something. And so they've really wanted to get the word out that this is part of their collection now. So the exhibit covers about 400 years of art from the opening and the beginning of the garden with one of the Medici members who had married a French king. And so she built the garden in the 1500s. And we've got bits and pieces of the garden from her time to the way artists have been inspired by it. Maybe sculptures from the garden, impressionist paintings inspired by the garden, photography. It's a wonderful exhibition. We did a film so that you can have an immersive sort of walk through the garden in case it's not a place that's familiar to you. And so I think visitors will really enjoy it. The exhibit really starts outside with about a dozen holly trees and beautiful benches, just to try to evoke the feel of that Tuileries garden in Paris. So great experience. I hope folks will come and catch it before it closes on Sunday. And we've also got a terrific show that covers about 100 years of the Art of the American West, 1830 to 1930. It's called Go West, Art of the American Frontier. All of that work comes from a terrific little museum in Cody, Wyoming that has an amazing collection of paintings and Plains Indians materials and the history of Buffalo Bill and his Wild West show. And it's just a terrific exhibition filled with great, beautiful imagery and wonderful sort of historic material from the Plains Indians.
And how long is that Exhibition of the West open?
Right, so Go West is going to close April 13th.
All right. Julia Forbes will return after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Julia Forbes, head of Museum Interpretation and Digital Engagement with the High Museum of Art.
Julia, I'm one of those guys that got interested in the fine arts a little bit later in life. So I learned a lot of other things, was interested in all kinds of different things, and have just become amazed and really engaged with things like what the High has to offer. Talk about the educational opportunity. How can I learn more about this amazing collection or set of collections that are there?
Thank you so much. Well, we try really hard in the education department to have a lot of ways in for visitors because folks approach things in really different ways. So you can, of course, visit the exhibition and engage through an audio guide or take one of our tours. We have tours that are offered every day and on the weekends for families and adults. They're also great programs. Every third Friday, we have Jazz Friday. And so that's a fun thing to do, to come on a Friday night and hear some music and go through the permanent collection, or come to one of our family days. On February 9th, we're going to have our Arts and Rec. And so we'll have all kinds of fun activities for families, art making, and ways you can have a deeper engagement. Terrific lectures. So that great show, Art of the West, one of the curators from that great museum in Cody, Wyoming, Mindy Beesaw, is coming to the museum. And you'll to hear her on February 27th talk about this great art that's in their collection and be inspired by the West. So I think there are a lot of ways in for visitors. Even in our galleries, we have little moments where you can slow down and dig a little deeper into something, one of our closer look stations, or punch a button and watch a video. So we try very hard to have a lot of choices for visitors.
Sounds amazing. So speaking of choices for visitors, what choices are coming up later on in the year? Because we talked about when Go West is going to expire, and of course we've only got a couple days left to enjoy the Louvre, but what else is coming to the High this year?
Well, I am really excited about a photography that's opening in late February, February 23rd. This amazing artist, he's Cuban-born and Boston-based. His name is Abe Morel. His photography exhibit is called The Universe Next Door, and he is a very inventive photographer. He works in a large scale. I think one of the things he's most famous for is working with something called a camera obscura. This is a tool that's been around a long time. Artists, even our Vermeer show this summer, we talked about artists being able to use a tool like this to help them see in a new way. But basically, a camera obscura is just a black box with a lens in it, and it reflects light, and whatever it sees reflects upside down on the wall opposite. Abe figured out a way to turn, say, for example, a hotel room into a camera obscura and put the lens, let's say he's in the hotel room in Manhattan, his lens sees the Manhattan skyline. It's reflected upside down against the sort of hotel furniture, and then he takes a picture of it. He's taken that a little further, and he built himself a tent camera. So he goes inside the tent, and he's created a lens with a prism. Imagine we're at the Golden Gate Bridge, and we're standing there. He goes inside his tent. The lens reflects the Golden Gate Bridge, and the way he set it up, it reflects it onto the ground. So imagine rocky ground with leaves and grass with a reflection of the Golden Gate Bridge on top of it. He takes a picture of that. These are amazing, inventive ways of using photography. He's a brilliant guy who's so creative. This is going to be an awesome show, and I think everyone is going to have a great time in this amazing exhibition. That's not enough. In May, we're going to open an incredible show called Dream Cars. And Dream Cars is going to look at concept cars, either cars that were only one of a kind.
I am so into that.
It's going to be amazing. So either one or maybe five at most of these cars were made from like the 30s right up to the present day. And so we're just going to have these incredible 18 cars that, you know, most people never get a chance to see in person. And this is the show coming out of our design department. So it's going to be about design and creativity and what they were inspired by and what new thing were they trying to create in making this dream car.
I have to make a comment. I wish this weren't radio, because I wish our audience could see the level of passion with which you're answering these questions. I mean, just to see that kind of excitement is very, I'm catching it myself. I want to go in a different direction. Part of your title is digital engagement. What the heck is that? I have a picture of what it might be in my head, but tell us what that means.
Well, you know, in the art museum world now, this is kind of a new thing, or technology is really a big part of our lives now, and people are carrying around a little computer with them everywhere we go. And so how can we make use of that tool and help visitors connect with the art in the museum in ways that is part of their everyday life now? So for example, one of the things I did was create an app for the museum called ArtClix, and you can use that in the Tuileries exhibition, for example. And ArtClix is free download, and you can talk in sort of a social media way with one another about the art in this little closed community. And you can use the camera to gather information. We use this great photo recognition software. Or maybe I create an audio guide that you can, you know, wear as you go through the galleries and learn about the art. But it's really any way that uses technology to help you connect with the stories that we're trying to tell in the museum. And that's just kind of a new angle in the art museum world right now.
I like, well, and again, I'll go back to the educational thing. As you're talking about this digital engagement, as you've described it, what a great way to learn more about what it is that you're looking at that you might, a guy like me, would miss.
Yeah.
So we talked about Todd's membership and about how that lets you come in whenever you want. What other ways are there that you can get involved or support the High Museum?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we always need volunteers. And so on our website, folks can find a way to join our volunteer program. We've got volunteers who are really committed to the museum who are called docents. That's just really the Latin word for teacher. These are the folks who give our tours, and they're volunteers. Some of these folks have been with us 45 years.
Wow.
Some of them have been there 5 years. We offer a class every other year. We're always looking for people who want to talk about art and share their passion for art.
Are there ways for people to make financial contributions to the museum?
Absolutely. I mean, membership is one way. Contributing to our annual fund is certainly another way. And you can make donations to things that excite you, like the education department or the collecting of building our collection and buying art. So there are a lot of ways to support the institution financially.
Outstanding. Well, Julie, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about all that is the High Museum of Art?
I think the best place to stop is HIGH.org, H-I-G-H.org. So we have everything there, ways to donate, ways to join, learn about the collection, education programs. It's all there.
Outstanding. Julia Forbes, the head of Museum Interpretation and Digital Engagement. It was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know if you guys have been in the High, but it is a mind-blowing experience.
It is. Every time I go there, it blows my mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guests, Art Wood, Julia Forbes, my co-hosts Ben Heisler and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.